third level listening, it's basically about how when you listen at the first level, you're just kind of taking in the information. The second is you're kind of relating it often to yourself. And then the third is that you're taking in what else is going on in order to interpret what you're hearing.
Magical greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the World It's Magic podcast, your weekly dose of magic. My name is Rubens, Director of Spells and co-founder at Abra Academy. Abra Academy believes the world needs magic, not only rabbits in hats, but the magic of people. We use magic to create learning experiences full of joy and possibilities, so that everyone can reach their potential. Today we have Eleanor Ford with us. How does she bring magic to the world? Well, Eleanor Ford is Academy Director at Zinc. She's an innovation specialist focused on making ideas happen. She builds networks, bringing people together around opportunities and change. And she's a highly skilled communicator, negotiator, and strategist. Ellie began her career as an anthropologist and documentary filmmaker before founding Like Cube Limited in 2006. She won Silver Award at the 2007 British Female Inventor and Innovator of the Year Awards. She was a finalist in the BlackBerry Women Technology Awards 2008, and she was profiled in the January 2010 edition of Wired UK. Last but not least, she is an advisory board member of 100% Open, an advisor at Atlas of the Future, a mentor at Bethnal Green Ventures, and a founding member of The Point People. We will talk about Zinc, about social innovation, entrepreneurship, and above all, what is magical about what she does. But before we start, I would like to invite you to make yourself present. My question today is, what impact do you want to have in the world? Thanks. Welcome, Ali. Thank you for joining us today. If you could share a little bit about yourself and your background and what you do.
Brilliant to be here. Thank you so much for asking me. My name's Ellie Ford. So my background is in filmmaking initially, anthropology and documentary filmmaking particularly, which might feel like quite far from what I'm doing now, but is actually not that far. So for me, anthropology and documentary were all about understanding people, understanding kind of humans, taking on different points of view, challenging assumptions about the world that we see around us, drawing patterns between things that we see around us and working out what that means in terms of what's next. So I started there and I loved being a filmmaker. But then I had a kind of unexpected idea for a startup back in about 2006. So a long time ago. And it was really from making films where I was doing a lot of traveling, and I found myself kind of always looking for the stuff that I should be doing when I arrived at a new city, whether that was like where to eat or what shows to see or what bars I should go to. And I started at the time thinking, wouldn't it be good if you had a way of kind of personalizing the recommendations that you kind of found? And decided that I was going to try and start a service that would do that, a company that would do that. And I did that with my partners, computer scientists at the time, working on the next semantic web, so next kind of machine learning stuff. So the two of us, anthropologist, filmmaker, machine learning, kind of that thing of magic when skills come together in new ways, knew absolutely nothing about lots of things, but knew that it could be something. So I found some backing, some funding from Nesta, initially as part of something called the Creative Pioneer Program, and started the startup. So, and cut a long story very short, took that from kind of idea, from concept to, we sold that company 5 years later to the Time Out Group. So at the time was pivoting from being the kind of London Bible of where you find where you want to go out, through to a kind of digital platform. So we were part of that growth picture. So we were acquired by Time Out and private equity. And I stayed at Time Out for about 5 years as innovation director, looking at what Time Out could be doing next. In a sense, kind of renovation more than innovation, because lots of the things that Time Out did, it did really well, but it needed to reconsider or reformulate for kind of the next wave. And then after that, I was really kind of driven to take my innovation story to purpose. And so I was approached to lead something called the Good Lab, And the Good Lab was a collaboration of 12 of the UK's biggest charities who were trying to transform how they raise money through a kind of startup approach, so through a venturing approach. And obviously, charities have a very certain approach to fundraising, but what happens if you look at that differently and you take on some of the kind of startup approaches? So it was fascinating, challenging, working as a collaboration of big charities, but trying to do things very differently, as you can imagine, challenging in form and content in lots of ways. But yeah, so we came up with a portfolio of new companies for these charities. So Save the Children, Oxfam, the kind of big ones. And then joined Zinc about a year ago. So Zinc is kind of carries on that theme of innovating, but innovating around mission, innovating around the kind of problems that exist in our world and how we might look at solutions differently. So I've been at Zinc, about a year. So Zinc has traditionally worked through a kind of venture builder, so building new businesses, and then we're launching a new way that people can accelerate the impact in the things they care about, the missions they care about, through the Zinc Academy.
Fantastic. Wow. Beautiful. It's real magic. And think about real magic. How do you see the magic in all this that you do?
So I think it kind of comes back to some of the things that I started with, actually. So I think it's about kind of widening your sight, widening your peripheral vision to how else the world could be or what else is going on beyond the kind of singular track that we're often on. And I think what that allows you to do is kind of make connections between things in a different way, which is a thing I really love doing, connecting people more than anything else. And I think it's that magic when you put different types of people together that something new exists that wasn't there before. So for me, that feels like the magic. And then I think kind of holding like our own ideas like quite lightly and seeing what they could be. So I think how things come together and not being too convinced of your own position so that you can allow other stuff in and allow that to really build and grow, that feels kind of important to me, I guess.
That's beautiful. And it's so true, right? When you have some people that's too stuck with their ideas, that they are not open to making it different or beautiful or get input from different people. But in terms of what are the ways to have impact with the missions that we care about? Because a lot of your work is working with people that have a mission, that have a purpose. So what are the ways to have impact with that?
So it's really interesting. So that's essentially where Zinc is at the moment. So we want to help, I guess, kind of mid-career talent experiment their way to impact at scale, right? So, and it's interesting that we've always done that with, or always, we've been going about 3 or 4 years, so we're still quite young in many ways. But when we first started, it was from the position that there were lots of brilliant entrepreneurs out there, right, doing great stuff, but often it was about how we get our pizza delivered faster or how we get a cab from A to B, and not necessarily innovating around the things that are maybe some of the kind of problems that we're facing in society. So Zinc was saying, actually, if we identify missions, so things that we think need a kind of a massive response and by our greatest talent in new ways, then we should be building companies around these problems. So Zinc created this kind of venture builder so that people would leave their jobs. They would come together for 9 months, 50 people in one program. Around the first program was in mental health. The second was around globalization automation. The third was around healthy aging, so as adding 5 high quality years to later life. The fourth would be environment. And so building kind of new businesses from scratch. And I think what's kind of interesting in that is that, like, by having a mission, by having a kind of energy and a drive and a sort of North Star, if you like, of what you want to focus on, I think you do pull together that diversity in a sort of anchored way. So I think what Zinc's really found, which has been just amazing and it still surprises me, is that, you know, you can go into the program and you can sort of see midwives experimenting with investors who are experimenting with roboticists and data scientists, and actually what happens, what comes out of like that process. So makes me think of just one of the companies founded by the brilliant Deborah Coughlin, whose work is Studio X. So she's done a new product called Wakey, a new kind of breakfast show called Wakey, which is essentially looking at CBT. So how you bring CBT to beyond the people that already know about it, that are already consuming Calm or, you know, all those other kind of mindfulness services. She's saying actually most people don't think that's for them. So if you go to a complete, like, the wider demographic. So Wakey is kind of a great example of that, because it's saying, actually, how do you bring those principles into just a show which looks like it's just fun, but ultimately it's driven by CBT? And the kind of team of that is like a TV researcher, TV production producer, a clinical psychiatrist, and a drag queen from TV coming together to innovate this new show. So I think that's kind of a brilliant way. But then I think what I'm sort of focused on at the moment, I guess, to the Academy is like ventures aren't the only way. And actually new businesses aren't the only way. And lots of people really want to do more, right? They really want to do more with the missions that they care about and the things that are important to them. And right now it's like, if the only option that we give is like sit on your hands and feel frustrated or quit your job and start a business and go for the VC route, that feels like quite extreme. So what are the kind of options in between of other ways that we can, yeah, like experiment our way to impact and be inspired and hold each other to account and see and, you know, understand better what else is out there. And maybe think about the kind of intervention or the project or the idea that we want to work on and that we want to build over a journey. So that's kind of how we approach it.
And this is fantastic. And I think I was wondering, how do you empower individuals, like zooming in, like how do you empower the individuals themselves to have more impact? But I'm sure that just giving them a purpose or supporting them in their purpose, it's one way. But what other ways are there to empower these individuals?
So I think what I'm finding is people are showing up with their own unique talents, but also with their own commitment to the problem area. Obviously, you know, some more than others, but particularly on the Academy, people are passionate, right? And particularly mental health, which is the first program. There's lived experience. It's touched people in different ways. We talk about it in relation to kind of rocket fuel. So people are coming with like a really sort of strong rocket fuel about why they need to do this. And I think then beyond that, that's like a raw material to work with, but it can't be everything. Because I think you need to be able to, in a sense, kind of tune into that energy, but add to it. So one of the ways that we kind of work at Zinc is bringing people really close to the users. So the kind of the lived experience of the problem itself. So for example, in our venture builder working with older people, it's quite easy to sit with a lot of assumptions about older people and the kind of things that we see in adverts of like wrinkly hands. And, you know, it's like, actually that's, it's just so broad and so unhelpful and so misrepresentative of people that we generally think of between sort of 55 and 100, right? It's like, actually, this is kind of, it makes no sense as a category when we start looking at it in that way. So we get really close to our kind of user groups and how we work with where people really feel the pain points and the problems and really understanding and kind of committing to that deeply. And then building on that, we have quite strong associations with universities. So actually, how do we build in the best scientific research to make sure that everything that we're doing is kind of grounded on science as well? I mean, some more than others, but certainly there's a really kind of strong sort of robustness to the science behind the companies that we build too. So, and I think from my perspective in the Academy, which is slightly different, is that actually, how do you connect people to their own experience, connect them to the problem in the right way, connect them to what's out there, connect them to the people that can help build the kind of the future of what that might look like in terms of the company or the thing they want to do, but also free them up to experiment within those boundaries, which is why we use the word experiment quite a lot, because I think you have to just keep trying stuff. You have to be convinced about that one thing and then try it and then change and then try it again and then change. And so kind of giving people the limits within which they can do that experimentation, I think feels like it's kind of crucial.
Well, fascinating. I think you mentioned like not getting too stuck with your own ideas, or at least like when you have idea of having some openness to what else can may come and for people inputting. So how do you bring people together to solve problems? Like,
so in Zinc, we bring them together. Like, I think what you've really got to do is kind of identify what that shared agenda is, right? So they have to have a kind of deep and joined up sense, shared sense of what it is that they're doing. So the kind of purpose. You can't just bring people together. You have to bring people together with a purpose. Otherwise, it's completely like anchorless as a process. I think as soon as people start working out the kind of with clarity what that purpose and what that drive is, then you can start allowing people to bring their own kind of unique skill sets to it. But it has to start with that sort of first center point, I think, before you do anything else. So I'll give you an example. So in the Good Lab, when we were innovating with the charities, it's like if you innovate around the fact we need to raise more money, that's not an anchor, right? It's a kind of a byproduct of the fact that you've kind of already identified the fact that you want to, for example, look at volunteer, you want to innovate volunteer behavior. You want volunteers to feel more empowered. Yeah, that's a purpose. That's something that you can really rally around. A byproduct of that is that it might lead to future fundraising, or it might lead to products future fundraising. And that's something that I think we kind of we learned through that process, because the collaboration came together looking at new ways to raise money. But actually what we realized was we had to identify the kind of the problem and the mission and that anchor so that we could really kind of build around it. And I think that was definitely the journey of that time.
Mm-hmm. And Ellie, do you think we need innovation for good? I mean, how is it different from innovation, or what do we gain from naming it innovation for good? How do you feel about this subject?
Yeah, I guess I would hope that all innovation is innovating for good or innovating for improvement, right? I think from my perspective, I think the boundaries are just a lot more blurred now. So I think we used to think about stuff in a much more kind of compartmentalized way. So, you know, good was kind of owned by charities and business was driven by, you know, profit making and shareholder incentive. And actually, you know, you think if you're looking at the ways in which this is changing, you look at companies that are really doing good in the world and really kind of, you know, making part of their bottom line the influence and the impact that they're having to society. And equally, you know, the challenge to charities who don't necessarily own the future of good. They don't own it in the same clear-cut way that they once did. And I think that sort of that meshing, that merging, that shifting is really important. And where it takes me is that everything needs to be kind of innovating with some sense of that purpose, that sense of kind of why you're doing it, why it matters, why it needs to exist in the world, why it needs to live. And we have like quite an interesting approach, I guess, at Zinc, is because we're building, like the venture builders building scalable businesses. So we're looking at how we build big commercially successful businesses, which is quite different to just wanting to have impact. But that's because that's one route. We think if it's a commercially successful and scalable business that can impact the lives of millions of people, then we can touch more people and therefore we can have more impact. And because the companies have been built with that mission sort of the center, ultimately they can't mission drift, because if they mission drift, they're not that company anymore. So if we're looking at businesses around providing care or transport poverty or access to mental health services, or what else can I, you know, how to increase mobility in older people, how to deal differently with the menopause, how to look at, you know, oral health. All of those things are kind of core to each mission, often neglected areas. But to do that thing really well means being commercially successful, but also therefore impacting more people. So it's kind of looking at it that way.
You know, I couldn't empathize more with that idea. And that's what for Abra Academy is one of our questions, because we are a business that we want to bring magic to the world. And we want to do that, of course, as a business. Not that we don't want to be a charity necessarily, because we believe that a great business is able to do that. So we've been considering becoming a B Corp. What do you think about B Corps then?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely so a good innovation at Good Lab, we're a B Corp. I think it's a great thing.
So wait,
go for it, do it.
Okay. Well, let's jump into the magic questions, because we are 25 wow. past now. It's time for the magic questions. So what's one superpower you have, Ellie?
I think listening, but I think deeply listening, like third level listening, I think is my superpower. So, because I think from listening deeply with empathy, I think that's where you get insight. And I think from insight, you build influence, and from influence, you can change things. So for me, that first point of like really deeply third level listening is my superpower.
Thank you. Could you share a secret?
I once lived in an internet bride agency in Colombia and made a film about internet brides. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I don't know. What's an internet bride?
It's somebody that finds love through the internet. But So I was looking at, I was like filming women in Colombia who were like looking for love from abroad.
Wow. And at the time it was quite unique, but now it's all of us, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We usually meet the people before we offer the marriage, though. It shouldn't happen then.
No, of course. It's crazy. in terms of changing or creating something new to the world, Ellie, imagine I have this magic wand, that this magic wand has immense powers for you to do anything. You have the wand now. What would you do and create?
Well, I guess my immediate answer has to be around like climate and future of the planet. Having got three kids, that feels like the most immediate thing for me. But maybe slightly more lightly, I think it would be that thing around getting people to recognize that everyone's perspective is valid, and that whole thing of like we're all right but only partially, and that ability to kind of take on other people's points of view.
That's fantastic. Wow. Any questions from you? Lovely people, anyone wants to ask Ali a question? Give you like just curious what third type listening is from Fabio. Thank
you. So yeah, you can read about it. If you look at third level listening, if you look that up, there's some really good descriptions, but it's basically about how when you listen at the first level, you're just kind of taking in the information. The second is you're kind of relating it often to yourself. And then the third is that you're taking in what else is going on in order to interpret what you're hearing to build a more complete picture, I think would be one description. But yeah, look it up.
Fantastic, Ellie. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing all this amazing knowledge. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Rubens.
Whoa, what a learning. Thank you so much, Ellie. This is awesome. I hope you enjoyed the chat and learned something new. Please follow Upper Academy on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram for upcoming webinars and podcasts. And to know more about what we do and how we can help bring more wonder to your organization. Unleash your magic.